Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 25th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I am good.
It's good to have you here. And Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you here. And yesterday was your mom's birthday?
It was indeed.
Today is my brother's.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Jeff's brother.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jeff's brother. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it's birthday week on TDO.
It is. It's Jeff's brother's birthday. What a great day. Everyone say happy birthday. Yay.
Not everyone gets that treatment.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Awesome.
Yes, and our sponsor is Bushel. And Bushel is a really awesome service that lets you manage your Apple devices, that's your Macs and your iOS devices, from an easy-to-use interface without having to become an IT pro. So you can manage updates, and then you can track locations of devices. If they're lost or stolen, you can disable the devices. If for whatever reason, if they need to be disabled, which does go beyond party pranks, and don't really do that, people. Just only disable if you really, really need to. And it's really easy to use. It doesn't require the overhead that Apple's own device management tools come with, and it's easy. It's something that allows anyone that has more than a couple devices to be able to manage effectively without having to become an IT manager, which is awesome. If you are an IT manager in a business that doesn't have enough devices to really justify Apple's enterprise level tools, then Bushel is a great option. If you need to keep track of, say, your parents' iPhones and iPads so that updates happen when they're supposed to, this is an easy way to do it, and it's really inexpensive. You have your first three devices free forever, and then after that, it costs $2 a month for each additional device that you add. And since there's no contracts that go along with this, let's say that someone decides that they don't need an iPad because they just bought an iPhone 6 Plus. Okay, so now you just take their iPad out of the mix, and you're not paying the $2 for that. Now you just have their one iPhone. It's easy to add and remove devices. It lets you keep track of how many devices that you're actually dealing with. You can, you know how people have a horrible time sorting out email settings? You can push out email settings to their devices for them.
So if you're the person who is tech support for your family, you need this. Because all you have to do is set up mom's iMac and dad's iPad mini for me, my mom for her birthday yesterday got an iPad mini. So I can put her iPad mini in Bushel. I will have the serial number. I'll know what version number she's running. All the basic stuff that you sort of have to pry out of people sometimes. If you can get them enrolled in Bushel, you've got all the basics. So like half your Google search for whatever it is that they've done to their computer or their iPhone this time is all right there in front of you.
Yes, and it's awesome. It's wonderful. It's incredibly inexpensive. It's easy to use. Go check it out. Bushel.com, Bushel.com. And thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor this week.
Yes.
All right. We kind of talked about, and when I say talked about, you guys talked and I ranted for the show. Yeah. About home automation. And this kind of stemmed out of an analysis piece that John wrote, where he's talking about how the whole home automation promise just isn't quite panning out yet the way that we want. And the rant for me came up because I'm in the process of turning my place into a smart home, but the place was built in like 1930, so it was never designed with these sorts of technologies in mind. So what I've been doing is essentially retrofitting. and I decided to automate part of my cooling system, I needed to have one of the Belkin switches. So it's a smart outlet that goes on my Wi-Fi network. I go to connect it and keep getting errors. And it just fails to connect. No explanation why. And it took a ridiculous amount of Google foo to track down what the problem was, which is that the Belkin device, Wemo devices have a restriction on passwords. You cannot let, or they will not connect to a Wi-Fi network that has a password with any kind of punctuation in it. And so now you know there's some punctuation in the password for my Wi-Fi network. And so I have this Wemo switch that I can't put on my network, and changing my password to something that complies with what the Belkin device does support, no. There's way too much on my network, and I'm not going to create what I perceive as a less safe password just to accommodate this one switch. And that, yeah, so that got me ranting, and it turns out that, John, you see some disappointment in the home automation market as well.
You know, I've been monitoring the situation because of Kelly's enthusiasm and your enthusiasm, and kind of watching the articles that come by and what people are doing. And last Friday, I ran across an article by Mr. Galen Grumman, who talked about how the Internet of Things and home automation appears to be losing steam in general because of people being kind of disappointed in the integration of the products, confusing technology, people having problems with setup and so on. And an industry's battling over who's going to own up, which adds fuel to the fire. So without going into it explicitly, I kind of got the feeling he was talking about the hype cycle, where we have a technology trigger and everybody's all excited about it, and the companies get on the bandwagon and they want to get ahead of game and get everybody embraced in their particular system. And then the other guys fight back, and then they say, no, and we want to be your home automation leader. And then there's that peak of inflated expectations that drops into the trough of disillusionment for a while. And that may be where we are right now, where the technology is not extremely mature, not extremely compatible, not extremely secure. Time to climb up into the slope of enlightenment and productivity.
All right, and there's like really five going. Cylons out there right now that are understanding what you're saying, John.
So I want to jump in for a second and see if John's connection thaws out. And for me, what this comes down to, like, you guys know that I'm super excited about home automation, and the reason I'm excited about it is because I can see the potential. I see the stuff that I can do with my phone in my house right now, because home automation had just sort of come off the ledge of ridiculously expensive and into the hands of mere mortals just about the time that we moved into the house we live in now a couple of years ago. And so at that time, there were a couple of sort of home automation hubs available, and there was some functionality you could get with them. Since then, we've had Philips Hue light bulbs, we've had the Belkin Wemo stuff come out, and nothing's super compatible. You have to choose a standard. And I think part of the reason that people have this problem right now is because most people who are looking at home automation are generally not people in Jeff's position who are renters. They're homeowners. So homeowners tend to be people of a certain age. And people of that age remember at least one of the format wars that have gone on in life, and are understandably cautious when you're talking about hundreds of dollars. So whether they were people who doubled down on Betamax before VHS one, or people who went HD DVD and then Blu-ray one, or
I won on Blu-ray,
or even just people who remembered buying cassette tapes and then, you know, ended up having to buy everything again on a CD. Even those people are like, I'm gonna wait and let the rest of the world figure out which one is the right one, and then I'll go buy the right one. And I think that that's a piece of what's going on right now, because there's some stuff that uses a standard called Zigbee, And there's some stuff that uses a standard called Z-Wave, and not everything will speak to both of those protocols. And so that's an issue. And I think that as people get more aware of things like basic security on the internet, understanding what it means to lock down your Wi-Fi network, understanding what it means if someone is able to gain access. Because if somebody can gain access to my Wi-Fi and send a bunch of emails, that's one thing. If somebody can gain access to my network and open my garage door or unlock the front door of my house, that's another story. So I think that there's some trepidation on that front, because I think with a lot of security stories, people tend to get fear-mongered into paying attention. We see this all the time with virus warnings and things like that. So I personally am super excited because I can see what it could be. And, you know, I've been beating this drum for well over a year when I wrote my piece last summer about how the Apple TV needed to become a home automation hub, because every other home automation hub experience out there sucks rocks. Mm-hmm. So I really want Apple to step into this market, because just like with MP3 players, this is the kind of thing where, like, yeah, that was a market that existed, but it was Apple who figured out how to make it right for people. And that's why my disappointment at the WWDC keynote was so particularly keen, was because I was so excited after all this time to finally get an Apple TV that would be a resident device on my network and really do the heavy lifting of the home automation, so that it would be something I could recommend to my mom. Right now, it is really not something I'm interested in doing. Otherwise, I would have bought her a Philips Hue starter kit for her birthday and then told her, you know what? You're going to screw one of these into the laundry room where you come into the house from the garage, into that little office area there. And every time you come home, that light's going to come on, and you will never come home to a house in the dark ever again. And isn't that awesome? Yes, it's awesome, but I don't still really feel comfortable recommending that to her yet. So I really want this to be better. And I think this is something that's contributing to where we are in the hype cycle, which is what John was talking about. And that's the trough of disillusionment, because we've been tempted by this. Everybody watched the keynote last summer where Craig Federighi talked about HomeKit and how you could tell Siri it was bedtime and Siri was going to dim the lights and lock the doors and cue up the Barry White or whatever. And that's not, it's been a year. We've had a whole nother WWDC keynote since, and none of those things are available for us to actually use. So I'm definitely deep in the trough of disillusionment right now, because I know what kind of hurdles I had to overcome to do it. And I know that it is not everyone's idea of a good time to rejigger network settings and go hand edit configuration files in order to make things work the way that they should. And until that stops being the case, I can't share this enthusiasm with other people. I can come on here and talk about it to you guys and be like, I don't recommend that you do this, but now that I finally got it working, it is awesome. And there's all these things that are really amazing about it. So to me, part of what's disappointing about all of this is that there aren't really clear standards yet. And so I think everybody's sort of holding off for that reason. And then also, you know, we were promised this last year at WWDC, and it's been a year and we still don't have any of that hardware available.
No, now some of it will be coming this month.
Yeah.
But still, it's a very small handful of manufacturers that are finally able to get something out the door. We have companies like Philips with their Hue system, where they've said, hey, everything you have will be HomeKit compatible.
Right.
But that's not coming till later this year.
Right, because being HomeKit compatible, like, there's no HomeKit on my Apple TV right now. Right. And I have the latest Apple TV that you can buy. It's 3 years old. Let me just point that out. And so there's a certain amount of that as well. Like, I could go buy all of these things that say that they're HomeKit compatible when they come out next month, but I'm not going to be able to hook them to anything. And that's not going to do me any good either.
There's another issue with security, too.
Oh, there are many issues with security. Go ahead.
You have a camera that's on the internet. Yeah. You have these devices that are monitoring your house and they're connected to the internet. You kind of feel like, especially with this Google Chrome incident we had, people feel like, am I sure that, you know, nobody's peeking in on me? You know, because there's always some sort of internet security staff we would worry about.
Right.
That's true. And if people don't feel they can trust these devices, especially because they're in a very personal setting. I mean, do you really want Google watching you walk around your house in your underpants?
Right.
Well, and for some people, I'm sure the answer is yes. But for most of us, no. And even though that's probably not happening, the fact that people are concerned that things like this can happen is an issue. There's a trust issue that has to be overcome as well,
right,
with these devices. And so if companies can't give us that, or if companies can't create an environment where we feel that we can trust the devices that they're making, it doesn't even matter how easy it is to link them together. People won't use them.
Right.
I mean, look and at how you many have to people worry freak about... out about the Nest thermostat because Google mm-hmm. owns the company.
Right. And then look at, speaking of home automation and companies Google owns, they bought Dropcam. And everybody who had the initial version of the Dropcam had to get a new version of the Dropcam because it quit linking to the cloud service that allowed you to view the camera when you weren't home, which, by the way, is probably the point of having a camera in your house in the first place. And those cameras all had to be replaced. Now, Google was offering to do it for free, but if you went with a company that couldn't afford to just send everybody a new camera, then you would be out of luck. All of those cameras that you spent a couple hundred bucks on would be bricks. And, you know, what good does that do you?
Right. And yeah, and so that plays back into the trust issue. If people are afraid that they're going to spend a couple hundred dollars on something that is going to simply stop working in a year, they're not going to do it.
Right. And then, and you know, what if you put in some light switches or you put in some electrical outlets and they all speak one protocol, and then it turns out the thing that you want, you know, you decide to go get an Insteon hub and it turns out that the Insteon hub won't talk to the light switches you've already installed.
Yep. This totally plays right into to what John was saying about how we are in the trough of disillusionment. But I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel. At least I hope there is. And Kelly, you're standing there with that light because because you went through the hard times and the frustration of getting all of these different devices to work together. And you're and you're clever enough that you figured out how you could use if this then that to trigger things to work together that otherwise would never be able to.
Right.
And that's great. So You were able to do that, and you're really smart, and so I'm not surprised you're able to do that. And what I'm hoping is that because there are people like you that were able to figure out the really hard stuff, that the device makers are looking at what you had to go through,
mm-hmm.
and they're figuring out how can we do this better. And if we're really lucky, HomeKit will actually become something that's really useful and will really take off. And at that point, then it becomes even easier because now you just use whatever app you want and you control everything from there.
And the thing that sort of astounds me about the fact that it is still this complicated in 2015 is that if it's a good customer experience, you will have more customers. If it's easy enough that I can recommend it as something to my parents, then I'll recommend it to my parents and they'll buy one. Or I will buy one and give it to them after buying myself one. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that I will always wonder about. You know, somehow I feel like I'm not a very good business person, but I feel like I'm a better business person than some people because I don't get why this is such a complicated disaster even today. Why this is such a problem.
So I have a theory, which is that Google is really unhappy with something that John has said or done, and they are intentionally cutting your bandwidth so that we can't understand what you're saying.
And they're using his thermostat to do it.
And they're totally doing it through your thermostat. Yep. Yep, that's what it is.
But John, so for people who don't know that about this piece, John wrote this piece talking about home automation and the trough, and I think he's totally right about it. Because one of the things that John said, which is something that I have said in the past, is that Apple is taking its sweet time with home automation. Or these things are contributing factors. And I really hope that that is what's happening. I really hope that when Apple puts out the new Apple TV, that it becomes the iPod of home automation. And I just made that up right here on the spot. So get a pen and write that down because it's going to be a thing.
The iPod of home automation.
The iPod of home automation. There was a market before Apple puts out the Apple TV that will do some of this stuff. Before the HomeKit compatible devices are released out into the world, there are things right now that you can get that will be, you know, all my Philips Hue bulbs that I have now, they will be HomeKit compatible. And that's great. As soon as I have something that runs HomeKit that they will be able to connect to. But these are the things that are going to make it that Apple is going to be able to really dial in and make possible so that my parents or my in-laws we'll be able to do this kind of stuff. And right now, I don't feel comfortable recommending any of this stuff to any of them because if something happens and they have a question, it's going to be impossible for them to sort out for themselves.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So,
and that's why I want Apple to step in because, yeah, because we're still in the trough. I want Apple to step in because Apple would be able to lift us from that, I think. Apple has a proven track record of good customer experience in all kinds of things. And I really want for that to come to home automation because I'm tired of it being this way.
I'm tired of it being this way too. And we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up.
Okay.
Listeners, I'm curious, how has home automation been working out for you? I would love to hear your success stories and your horror stories. So let me know. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. Or you can shoot an email to observations@macobserver.com. And we'll just take a look and see if everyone else is having a lot of trouble too. All right.
John. And I'm happy to swap war stories with people who are having trouble with home automation, by the way.
Yeah, maybe we'll end up doing a war story episode. Yeah. John, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
And we'll just have to get out a big hammer. We'll fix that internet connection. Kelly, yeah. Thank you for being here as well.
Surely.
And listeners, thank you for joining us today. And Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, bushel.com, and start managing your Macs and iOS devices far easier than you are today. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.